Welcome to Waldman's Words, brought to you by the State of Israel.
That's good and not going to offend anyone.
No one is ever offended by Camp David jokes.
Yep.
So speaking of Camp Larry David, we've got Emily Burke.
Yes, I'm back here.
You're Burke here.
I'm back and I'm Burke. And better than ever.
I'm bringing sexy Burke. Yeah.
Never done that one and we'll never use it again.
Listen, who's the assistant? Don't tell me what to fucking say, Emily!
It's my job to tell you what not to say.
It's actually true. She is the best, and she's wearing an Emily burka. Is that better? Speaking with this whole Israeli thing?
Yeah, that's good.
I should stop. So we've got Stephen Horowitz, who, honestly, I met at the Morbin Tabernacle.
Oh, yeah. What a time. What a drunken time.
We were the only drunks at the Mormon Church. No, in all seriousness, Stephen is a really nice man, and he works for Billboard, and his brother was in Tally Hall.
That's true. Those are the only things that define me, actually.
That's it. You got nothing else.
Yeah, that's really it. This is the end of the podcast.
That's it. So thank you guys for tuning in, or tuning in.
Oh my God.
You know what the things that define you are?
Oh, God.
The
what?
Best.
Oh.
Why do you assume the worst from me?
Because you said that too nicely.
I meant it too nicely. And what do I often say about you and the future of this industry? I'm not kidding.
Give me a couple years and I'll be great.
I honestly said on the last show, in 10 years, she'll be on the cover of Billboard.
Oh, well.
And that was not a pitch.
Well, there's a lot of people who want to be on the cover of that magazine.
No one wants to be on the cover of Billboard or Rolling Stone. They are career killers.
Oof,
someone got a text.
That was not me.
Okay, well, it was someone who got it. So, Waldman's Words is a tongue twister, and this episode will twist your tongue. Very, very excited to have Mr. Horowitz here for the Israel edition of Waldman's Words.
Yes.
We met on a plane to New York, which was also the Israel edition.
Yep.
And who do we have the next few weeks besides the compilation episode for It's Not Dead Fest?
Which is going to be great.
Yay.
But we have Corey Rechtland. From Greenlight Theory.
A band I was in that was good.
Yes. We have...
I believe you.
Hey.
I believe you.
We have Mara.
Mara Schwartz, who has a publishing company, and we have yet to have someone from that facet of the industry. We've had journalists. We've had people from the agency world, managers, other bands, other podcast hosters, but we've never had someone from that world, so it's going to be very interesting and possibly in sync. Get it?
Unfortunately,
you get it.
Yeah.
And anyway, let's talk about two other people who are going to be on this show.
Oh, we have another guy from another band.
Bobby Meter from the band Stock Smile.
There it is.
Whoop, yeah. There it is. So basically, we try to make this, I'd say, mostly industry-centric, people behind the scenes, but they're boring. So we're going to have some people behind the scenes and in front of the scenes. So, and I guess the most important guest in my life is named Emily Burke. Which you will be a guest on the show when you least expect it.
I mean, I'm technically on right now.
Yeah, but you're going to be so interrogated.
Oh, God.
Like this interview with Stephen Horowitz, wherein I say, what's your stance on abortion?
To each their own.
Yeah.
Stephen Horowitz is not used to offending anyone. So we're going to keep it at that. Stick around for Waldman's Words. This is actually technically take two because we're not sure if the mic worked last time.
We'll see.
But this is what you're listening to. No, we'll never see. We're never going to know.
Whoever's listening will never know. But
why are you correcting me on my show? What kind of?
This is
like you're an
now.
Editor. Horowitz's Woids.
Exactly.
All right. So stick around for whatever music they're playing, whatever ads they're saying, and I guess. Simultaneously, in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, can you both say an adjective that you think will describe this show? In 5, 4, 3.
Very fun. Nice.
Very nice fun. So, wow, this is going to be a good one. Stick around for Waldman's Words featuring me. Hello. Welcome to Waldman's Words with Stephen Horowitz, Emily Burke, Scott Waldman. The Middle East edition.
Okay, yeah.
We're really pushing that angle,
Let's make it happen.
Honestly. What's never going to happen, according to Mean Girls? Emily, if you don't know this, I'm going to be very upset.
Oh, fetch.
Damn right.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to jump in there.
I should have gotten that way faster.
You should have gotten it in there before I finished the fetching sentence. So, Steven,
yeah.
I'm going to do a fist bump.
Let's fist bump it out.
Boom. I used to say fist pump.
I didn't explode it.
One more. Well, that's in honor of the Middle East.
Oh, wow. I'm already offended.
It's okay. And that is difficult to do. So how did we meet?
We met on a plane going to New York. It was like a year ago. And I was going to work for Billboard, actually, before I worked there full time, which I do now, as senior editor. It was just, I was hired as like an interim editor for a month, and we met and had a lot to drink and talked about music, and Scott ended up knowing my brother's band because it was all in the Michigan family. And
go Blue.
Yeah, we're friends ever since. Here we are.
And we've had a few meals, and I learned so much about myself as a result of these meals. I just want to give a shout-out to Tally Hall.
Yeah.
I would argue that they're Atlantic Records' most underrated artist.
Well, they were Atlantic Records.
You know, God, again, this correcting. I'm going to say R of all time, which is a totally grammatically correct sentence with my BA in English from that cockamamie school of Michigan.
No, they're no longer on Atlantic, but they are, and they're not really a practicing band anymore, but they are excellent.
Are they technically defunct?
I don't
Hiatus?
Know. They really never made a declaration, so I don't really want to say anything that my brother is going to yell at me about.
Hopefully he will yell at you.
We've yelled at each other a lot.
Well, that's the nature of sibling relationships.
Exactly.
Emily's sister followed her to university.
Oh, is that right?
That's true. My older sister transferred into my school.
Wow.
My sophomore year.
Wow.
I love you, Becky. Sorry.
How you doing?
Hi, Becky.
Where are you going to school? Can I join you?
Yeah, that's...
I've never done that before. Let's honestly call each other's families out now. Sans Steven and his boring brother, Andrew.
Exactly.
So, Emily Waldman, you are perfect. I'm not lying. My sister is actually named Emily. So I have two important Emilys in
so
my
many.
Life.
Small little world.
Well, I'd say... Whoa, what year were you born again? 2004?
Oh, wow. 1997.
I'd say from...
Oh, my gosh. I'm like 9 years older than you.
Yeah, I'm 39,000 years older than her. But basically, children of the 80s, your name, Emily, was very popular in the 80s along with Kelly, Heather... And that's my wife and my sister-in-law,
yeah,
so that's why I did that. And Scott in the early 80s. Steven's just been popular since the Pantheon.
Or Evergreen, us Stevens.
You're not going to be like Everest, which was probably popular in 89
oh
with
my gosh.
Apple. Petro.
I've never known an Everest, but I've...
Thank God.
Yeah, but I've been lucky not to, so...
Well, I mean, you worked for Pitchfork, so they would talk mad shit on that name, wouldn't
they? Sure.
I'm
sure they would. But, you know, they're good people, so...
They are good people. They actually, I think, are the original trolls, and I give them credit for that. I think it's badass.
Do you think they are?
In terms of the written word and online press?
I think they can be very shady.
You mean throwing shade like Slim Shady from Detroit?
Sure, there you go. There's the Detroit.
I hate the word sure. I hate that word so much. It's like the word interesting. Like, what would you do if someone you loved... you propose to someone you love, like, will you marry me? And they're like, sure.
I'd be like, well, that's perfectly suitable.
Interesting.
Yeah. That was a very interesting response. Thank you so much.
So when you got proposed to when you were 47 years old,
what
was the one word answer you used? Because your tone is never dull or dry ever.
Fine.
Oh, God.
That's the one word that you will not let me get away with ever.
I hate that word.
Whenever I use fine all the time. I use it today in a text exchange.
As a one fine. Sentence? One word
fine
sentence.
With a period after it?
Yes. That is
that's
everything
brutal.
To me.
that's what's called being savage.
I'm just going to talk about my wife for a second and just say that when she uses that four-letter word, she never means it.
Yeah.
I love you, Kelly. I love you so very much.
She's going to text you fine with a period after it.
Oh, totally. It's like... Do you want to have fun ever?
Yeah.
So what's funny is, it is funny and it's not funny. Emily helps me with notes on people, but you're a person I don't need as many notes on because I've actually met you in person.
We know each other.
We technically do.
We definitely do.
We follow each other on Twitter.
I mean, that's all you need to know, or all you need to do to get to know me, pretty much.
Oh, trust me, I've gotten to know you very well.
Yeah.
No, it's fine. We can get into that in a second because
that's
maybe
fine.
Post Pitchfork, you were the next original troll.
Oof. I don't want to piss off my former employers at Condé Nast.
Condé Nast, I've heard of them.
Mm.
They have an accent.
Yes.
No, I like Pitchfork. Pitchfork showed me
Pitchfork is great.
A lot of incredible bands.
Yeah, they're great. I loved writing for them. I read them as far back as like 2003 when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm. When I graduated college.
There you go. I graduated in 2008, but I like worship. I like bowed at the altar of Pitchfork, and then I got to write for them, and I thought that was pretty awesome, and I definitely pissed off a lot of people with the shit I wrote there.
Well, that's everyone who writes at Pitchfork is going to alienate at least 750,000 people.
I know. But
I love it. I love it. I love it. It showed me a lot of music. And it's cool that your life kind of went full circle where something that you were really into as a youth, you ended up being a part of that machine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've done a lot of things that my 13-year-old self would lose their shit over.
Like interviewing MXPX today? Sorry. Sorry. Had to give myself a shout-out.
I will say, I know who MXPX is, so I feel like I'm part of the conversation now.
You are technically a part of my monologue right now, but I just want to tell you what I was originally bringing up, because this is, since we're all Jewish, this is going to be marred with tangents.
Okay.
But basically, the note that Emily sent me was seems into hip-hop.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing. I just want you to know that's the best note I've ever gotten.
I looked on your Facebook, and a lot of the articles that you posted were about, like, hip-hop artists.
Yeah, that's true. I do have a hip-hop background.
Just look at him.
I know. I'm a sweet gay Jewish boy from New Jersey. And
shout-outs to all gay Jewish men from Jersey.
I have probably interviewed every rapper you've ever heard of.
Wow.
Except for Jay-Z.
Azalea Banks, right?
I did interview her once.
She's nice. She's very tolerant, right?
She was very nice. She was nice to me, which was very confusing because I think she's the worst.
Yes, this is the troll show. I love it. It's like here's a glass of champagne. Let's fucking break it.
Yeah, no, she was
nice.
She was very nice to me, and I disagree with pretty much everything she says. But also, and this is something that this is also a tangent, but
it's fine.
When I was at a party, I was in New York a few weeks ago, and I was at a party, and someone brought up, who do you think is the best female rapper? And I was like, technically, it's Azealia Banks. And, I mean, you could...
What qualifies best? What qualifies best?
Best lyrical rapper and best ability
More
to...
More so than
like,
Missy
grasp.
Misdemeanor Elliott?
Missy Elliott is a fantastic rapper who's driven by personality. I don't think she's technically better than Azealia Banks. Azealia Banks is a phenomenal word...
Lyricist.
Word technician. She's just amazing. And I hate her so much, which makes it very complicated for me.
That's how I feel about Chris Brown. Dude can dance.
I hate that guy.
I hate him, too.
And his music is unfortunately good.
His songwriters are great. He's an incredible dancer.
Yeah.
And he's a really good entertainer. He just literally, on record, beat the fuck out of a woman.
Yeah, well, I hate problematic faves. But
wait, what does that mean?
A problematic fave?
Yeah.
A fave that's problematic. Like
I assume that, but like, thank you for completely condescending to my sincere inquiry.
Very self-explanatory.
Okay, I'm sorry. This is what I do. I know the answers to questions I ask.
Yeah, well, anyways, that was all this is to say, Azealia Banks. I do have a background in hip-hop. I got my start in the industry as news editor at a site called Hip Hop DX, which I have a lot of love for. They're the biggest news hip hop site on the internet. And
still,
I couldn't tell you, but when I was there, it was. And you know, I helped grow their traffic by double. So that's a high five moment.
Yay! You should high five Emily.
Yes, Emily.
Yay!
I worked hard for those 2.5 years.
She works hard for the money.
But I grew up, it very much fascinated by the hip hop world, and
much like every kid in New Jersey who was Jewish and gay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there were many of us, believe me. And I think the older I got, the more I've always loved like pop music, and I write a lot more about pop now. But I still write about hip hop when I get the chance. Just wrote about. I've just like hung out with Ty Dolla $ign last week.
Ooh.
That's the one with the dollar logo.
Yes.
His name, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
It's pretty
wow,
dope.
How do you remember that one?
I love that this is the shit on Scott show.
It's the Jewish show. That's why he remembers the dollar sign.
Oh, but if it was my show, it'd be more like the cent sign.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, what do they call a dollar? What is the equivalent of a dollar in Israel? Do you know the answer to this?
No, I don't.
Shekel.
Yeah, I was going to say, really? It's a shekel.
Come on, man.
I haven't been there yet.
Just because you haven't been there, I've never been to Spain. I have never been to Lira Land. I've never... Actually, I've been to Europe since the Euro. care to comment on Brexit?
I have no comment, but I was in London last month. Things seem to be going well there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
I love Trudeau.
Sure, I like, yeah, okay.
So this is a historical lesson on Waldman's words where my voice just cracks. So I guess let's get into this because I try to make this show, as you know, you've listened to at least one episode.
I have at least.
At least. At most or at least even. But basically, I try to make this so that whoever's listening, if you're a kid in, you know, because Jersey is close enough to New York. The three big music cities are New York, LA, and Nashville. Mm-hmm. So you have way more access and opportunity in those places. But if
or
you're
Atlanta too, don't leave out Atlanta
or Chicago or San Francisco.
Atlanta,
or Austin.
Though, like if you're talking about hip hop, that's like a main hub of
fair
music.
Point. But I would say that's still those three trumpet in terms of songwriting, Nashville in terms of being.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, like those are the three,
the big three.
Yes, I would absolutely agree with that.
But
Atlanta is very close to being in that three.
Well, is Atlanta? Let's get into it. Is Cash Money there or is that?
Yeah, they are from, they're not from Atlanta.
I love being corrected and being wrong. You're right, so keep going.
Well, it's all from the South, so there was some from, like, Louisiana and some from Georgia. And
like, No Limit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the South is a really big force for hip-hop, and it should not be ignored. That's why I'm bringing it up.
The South will rise again.
I mean, it's probably the most popular area for hip-hop these days, but, you know. Anyways,
let's continue talking about the South because it's actually very popular today due to the whole Virginia thing. Anyway, let's get back to actual music. So
sure. If
someone is listening to this and is from, you know, technically Birmingham, Alabama is the South, but I've never heard anyone say, with the exception of the song Sweet Home Alabama, which is a pro-Confederate song, by the way, just saying, those listening, just so you know, if you're growing up in Birmingham, Alabama, you might not have the access that one would have if they were to live in Manhattan or even Jersey outside
of
it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us your story on how you – did you start writing first – because I honestly don't know this. Did you start writing in high school or
– my writing history – so I feel like everybody who becomes a writer or a journalist or an editor or someone in the publishing industry thinks that there's a linear path to do it. And I found because
there's a linear path to everything.
Yeah, but I feel like in this industry, there, at least having met so many people who work in it, there really isn't. And my story is completely unlike anyone else's in that regard. Like, I went to a private school in New Jersey called the Pingree School.
Is that high school?
That was first through 12th grade.
Oh, you're one of those kids.
I'm a lifer, is what they called me. I'm like almost lifer because they had kindergarten too, and I didn't go there. But I spent 12 years...
You roughed it up in the public school system in kindergarten?
Yeah. Yeah, I got my elbows dirty. I did that, and I was always really into music. When I was in my senior year of high school, I was voted most musical as the superlative. You know how they have those in the yearbook?
I'm giving Emily a high five for that.
You're too far from me, and also
this
I'm confused
is a very
as to
far
why.
Away high
yeah.
five. I know nobody can see it, but
it was honestly
rough.
like Camp David. It didn't work out very well.
Yeah, there you go. And then I went to a college called Lehigh University my freshman year. And
damn right.
I actually really did not enjoy it.
Damn not right.
Yeah.
Damn all right.
It took a dark turn. And I transferred to NYU, and I always knew that I wanted to do music. And
small Jewish population at NYU, right?
Very small, very, very a fraction.
It's like Jewish.
Exactly. I just didn't know what I wanted to do with music. And my brother actually was, when he was at U of Mish, he was writing music reviews for the paper and for the school paper. And I was like, I didn't even really think that could be a career path. And so I went to NYU. I studied journalism. And I double majored in English as well, because that's what you do. And
sidebar, my degree is in English. The reason I met Emily is because she was doing a piece on that band, Green Light Theory. She works in PR for Epitaph. So you're at a very semi-literate table.
Okay.
So do I.
To make a long story short...
No, make it longer. Has anyone ever said that to you before?
Yeah, right? I... when I was in college, I was, you know, arts editor of Washington Square News, which I really loved, and I was on WNYU, which was I did an underground hip-hop show to kind of harken back to my hip-hop roots. And then the day...
Started from the bottom, now we hear.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's been a very slow climb. The day before I graduated college, I was offered a job, and they wanted me to start immediately, and they asked me to skip my graduation. And I was like, you people are fucking crazy. So I said no, and I was like, I'll start the day after, though. And every day since, I've been working. So I've been very lucky in that regard. But
I'm glad you told them they were fucking crazy. Hashtag boundaries.
Well, I was 21 years old, and it was my first full-time job, and they paid me dirt. But it was a great...
Emily, I pay you really well. Do not complain about that.
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, like, it was dirt for New York, and...
Dirt for New York is, like, $120,000
a year. Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Well,
let's talk about gentrification in a minute.
Let's talk in 10 years about dirt. No, they pay me garbage, but it was a teen website, and I actually ended up meeting a lot of people in the industry through that site, and I interviewed so many...
What site was it?
I don't want to say.
Okay, never mind. It was this great teen website called Google.
Yes, it was very young then. No, I worked there for about a year, and then they laid us all off. And
oh,
that was
that's
pretty.
Why.
It was heartbreaking. No, and I don't want to say the name of the site because it's so embarrassing. That's why. I'm not ashamed of it, but like it's embarrassing.
When you work for SesameStreet.com, it was very very impressive.
I did all of their celebrity interviews. But
he interviewed Snuffleupagus.
It went over really well.
Yeah, when I got laid off, I started applying or pitching to freelance, and that was back in 2009, and that was almost like 3 decades ago.
Thanks, Obama.
And well, luckily, a place that I pitched randomly in New York offered me a job, and that never happens. And so I ended up working for this magazine called YRB Magazine, and I worked in the basement of a retail store. And at one point, I remember working there late at night, a rat crawled over my foot, and what? I vowed never to work in a basement again.
Another sidebar, I'm pointing up. In New York City, there are more rats than people.
Yes.
That is so fucked up. I just want everyone listening to know that I'm afraid of certain animals, rodents, scare the fuck out of me. Care to comment, Emily Berg?
That's kind of funny.
Oh my God.
That's funny? My fears are funny to you?
I mean, out of every animal, you're going to pick like a mouse.
This is what she does now. She's condescending. What animal are you afraid of? You're going to be like, velociraptor.
I don't know, like poisonous snakes?
Yes. They're all real. Every Chris Pratt movie is real.
Okay. Documentary Jurassic World?
Jurassic World is based on a true story, sir.
Or, like, bears or something?
I would much rather...
You know something that's
with the rat? A rat is very cunning. And Splinter showed the Ninja Turtles how to fight.
This rat was not cunning. It tried to crawl up my leg while I was writing.
Up
it? It was so gross. I can still feel it on my leg. You know that? Anyways, moving along.
No, let's discuss this rat more.
Well, the magazine was YRB, and it stood for Yellow Rat Bastard. So there's a little irony there.
Oh my God, dude, that just went full circle.
Why? Because you know the clothing
store? No, because rat and rat.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but I know the clothing store too.
It was not a fun place to work, although we did awesome stuff, and I really liked the work that we did there. I did not like working
there. Can you talk about something positive?
I'm getting to the positive part.
Well, we're going to actually cut this off, so this is going to be the negative branch of the show. So
fast forward. At the same time...
No. I'm actually going to do my didn't have to cut you off because we're almost done with segment one.
Oh,
but
no.
I know. It's crazy. Time flies when you're miserable. So the thing is no, seriously. I just want to say to all those listening that if you have heart, if you have passion, if you're a good person and you work hard and you're semi-literate, you can write.
Yes. Everybody should write. Like, it doesn't matter... what comes out, just write if you want to write. That's one of my philosophies.
Like Dear Mr. Henshaw.
Sure.
Oh my God.
That reference is lost on me.
Fuck! I thought you'd be so into that.
No, I don't know.
Do you know who Judy Blume and Beverly Cleared Roald Dahl are?
Yes.
I know Judy Blume and Roald Dahl. I don't know Beverly Cleared.
I don't know Beverly Cleared.
Beverly Cleared is like Jesus and Ramona.
What?
I would read when I was younger because I was I was more. I didn't. I don't
read fiction anymore. I'm judging you.
No, you're totally judging. His eyes are doing the opposite of his words. You guys can't see what's going on, but I'm getting the devil's gazes from the two of these peanut gallerers. So we're going to cut this off in a bit, and we're going to get back into a combination of positive, mediocre, and negative things about Stephen Horowitz's life. Sure. But, Emily, do you have an adjective to describe what just transpired?
An adjective to describe what just transpired.
Thanks for repeating it so you can delay your statement.
Yeah, thinking. Nice. Good.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah,
this has been nice. I'm having a great time.
Nice!
Yeah.
Your turn.
Fun.
Yeah.
I'm talking about my favorite topic, which is me.
Yep. So my adjective is narcissistic. So stick around for Waldman's Words, where we can learn about New Jersey, Tally Hall, and all things Emily Burke.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hello. Welcome to the positive segment of Waldman's Words, featuring Emily Burke, Stephen Horowitz, and me, Scott Lewis Waldman. Emily.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty okay.
That's good. That's better than nice.
Yeah, it's a pretty good day today.
So we've got Stephen here. Stephen, let's discuss your foray into music journalism a little bit further.
Okay. I think when I left off, I was talking about...
Rats.
I was working at this place that I got a rat crawling on my leg. But at the same time, I was working remote for Hip Hop DX, which, as I mentioned, was the biggest hip hop site on the internet at a certain point, and I also was supplementing that with doing other things, and I was freelancing for Rolling Stone. I started to build out my profile a little bit as a writer, and then everything kind of started to go belly up, and I was a little fucked up over it.
Wait, explain what you mean by belly up.
Things just started to dry out. Like, I was forced to leave my magazine job at YRB after 2.5 years because they're shitheads.
Fuck them.
Actually, fuck that. Fuck them and fuck the guy who runs that place. But
yo, fuck anyone who fucks with my boy.
Not fuck any of the people who worked there because they're all great people. But
said
it was
who
just,
fucks with my boy.
It was like...
You should say thank you. I care.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And I think at the right time, I was offered eventually a job at Billboard. A few years down the line. Oh, no, that's not how it works.
What year was the belly up year?
The year that went belly up was around 2012, I want to say.
Thanks, Obama, again.
And it was right when I went through a very painful and horrible breakup.
I'm sorry.
It all happened at the same time, and it was a really dark time. But we're being positive here. So.
No. Listen. I'm a huge fan of people not being able to truly appreciate the positives in life without getting kicked in the balls.
Sure, that was a big ball kick moment.
I mean, I could follow suit if you'd like, but basically,
no, fine now.
No, I'll be honest with you. When you said 2009, that was my fucked up year.
Yeah.
With I'm not going to say her name, but fuck you.
Yeah, well, mine was 2012, but
I will remember.
Yeah, well, I remember my ex.
I remember your ex, too.
I love my ex, but we
really?
Were just not meant to be together.
Okay.
Love my ex as a person. We don't talk anymore, but...
We don't even talk anymore.
Yeah, I was going to do the Charlie Puth one. We don't talk anymore with Selena Gomez.
Yeah. You would talk about that song.
I know. I'm a pop guy. Anyways, let's...
Yeah, Boyz II Men's definitely not pop.
Yeah, well, that's debatable. So, just running through it really quick, I got hired at MySpace... they relaunched in 2013.
With JT, right?
Yes. And I got to interview him once, and the interview never came out because it was so bad.
Whoa. Why?
Yeah. They gave me 4 minutes with him, and it was on camera. It was real bad.
Lucky we get 50-plus with
they
you.
They flew me to Vegas.
For a four-minute interview that never happened.
No, but that
never
happened,
aired.
But we decided not to publish it.
What a waste of money.
Oh, man, was it bad. And then I... Coincidentally, I started talking with Billboard because some guy that I worked with became the music editor there, and he wanted me to go there. And the shitty thing is, the guy who hired me at MySpace used to be the music editor at Billboard, and the guy he replaced himself with.
It's okay.
I got
Stephen
so
Horowitz has been breaking shit ever since he walked into the studio.
The guy who he replaced himself with was the one who was trying to poach me. And so it was really complicated.
Wait, can you actually explain for the people listening who don't know what poach means? So, no. Because this is very, very prominent in entertainment.
Sure. So this poaching means he came to me behind everyone's back and tried to hire me from this other company, which is, I think that's a commonality in business in general, I think. And a lot of places, especially sometimes in journalism, have rules when you sign a contract that you can't be poached from certain publications afterwards. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have that rule in my contract. And so I was going to leave and go to this other place.
Certain companies don't even let you work in the same field.
I know. It's crazy fucked up, but that's just how it is. And it just so happened to complicate things that my boss at MySpace, who hired me, I was subleasing his apartment. And I'd been living there for about a year-ish. And so I had to go in and tell my boss. I remember the day very
And your
clearly,
landlord.
Well, and my landlord, that I was going to leave to go to Billboard to work for the guy that he replaced himself with. And so I walk into the office, and it just so happened that day there were layoffs, and he got laid off. And
that was a blessing in disguise,
dude. Oh, my gosh. I've never – and I love my old boss. Shout out to BMI. But I have never been so happy in my life. I was like, the timing.
You avoid the breakup. You avoid the breakup.
I swear to God that never happens. I got very lucky. So I met up with him the next day, told him the situation. He said, yesterday I would have cared. Today I don't. And so I started working for Billboard, and it was great. And I was there for about a year and a half as associate editor. I left to come to LA because my fiance was out here, now husband, and
high five.
Yeah.
We're married men in the corner. Emily, you're 20. When are you going to marry a lawyer? When are you doing this? What are you doing?
Mine works in the entertainment industry, so.
Mine doesn't.
No, there you
She's
go.
From here, so she practically does just kind of like you. You LA girls and, ooh, I know Spielberg's kids. Yeah, look at that. That's I got the
I know Spielberg face.
It's like, I know them and they're great.
Yeah. I freelanced in here for a year and a half and then just got hired at Billboard and here we are.
I mean, you did that elevator pitch really well because the last one we went on tangents, but I want to go back on a tangent.
Sure.
And go backwards a bit. So, Billboard.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an actual office in Los Angeles?
Yeah, so our sister publication is The Hollywood Reporter. And
I've heard of that one too.
Yeah, we do a lot of work with them, and they have, I mean, we share an office with them, but the amount of people who work for Billboard out here is very small. It's about me and six other people, and they're all awesome, but the newsroom is back in New York. So mm-hmm. I work on New York time. I wake up at 6:45 every day. Go to sleep pretty early when I can.
Well, you look great.
I look tired, Scott.
I would never
tired.
Say that. I think tired is another shitty way to say just something to someone because it's equivalent to, like, you look like fucking shit. It pretty much is. What would you do if someone from the same or opposite sex that you were courting was like, yo, Burke, you look tired as fuck?
Oh, I'd be mad. I'd be like, what is that supposed to mean?
What
does that
mean? I'd be like, I look tired.
Yeah.
Well, that's so, because you're more realistic than I am.
Yeah,
because
I realistically look tired.
I'll take
tired.
That as like
anyway, so yeah, Billboard is a...
But do you work from home, or do you
I work from the office.
Okay.
It's in Mid-Wilshire. It's across from the La Brea Tar Pits.
So it's near the El Rey.
Yes, it's right down the street from it.
So it smells amazing.
Well, we work in a very corporate office, okay. So it smells like fluorescent lights.
Which is my favorite scent. It's actually
I'm
my cologne.
I'm looking at some right now in this room.
It's like gremlins would not be happy in this room, between the fact that you just threw a water bottle across the room.
Yeah, well, I got angry for a second.
So is the New York office in the heart of New York? I assume
it's
it is.
Yeah, it's in Midtown.
Dope.
It's on 43rd and Madison.
That's a great area.
Yeah, it's right.
Why'd you roll your eyes?
It's not a great area.
It is for me. Every area of New York City is a great area to me. I'm a New Yorker.
Well, I would like
Sorry,
to
it's not in Newark,
myself.
Jersey, okay?
Well, that would be worse. But Midtown is a...
It's not Lower East Side cool.
I judge a lot of places by the areas where you can get good food. And Midtown is probably
well,
the worst.
You're close to Times Square. You can go to Sbarro for authentic...
Well, it's on Madison, so it's actually like quite a walk to get to Times Square. We're right near Grand Central, which also doesn't have great food. You'd expect it to. It's all shitty. You mean like everything's shitty? It's like I have to.
This is the positive part of the show. This is great. I have SARS.
I'm Jewish. I'm Jewish. What do you expect?
And Curb is coming out soon. The new season.
Well,
just
we'll have our anxiety back. In
Do you think that we'll ever not have our anxiety?
No, that's true. I don't know why I said that, but
no, it's funny. When I say 43rd and Madison's a good area, I say I would live in that area. I would live anywhere in Manhattan. But my favorite part is when I grew up, I would go to shows at Coney Island High.
Yeah.
In St. Mark's. Have you ever been to St. Mark's Place?
No.
Okay.
I've never heard of it.
I used to live right next to St. Mark's.
Continental, probably, right?
I never was to Continental.
I never saw shows.
Five shots of anything?
For like $10 or
something. Oh my God, garbage.
You would die. But anyway, St. Mark's Place is where I would hang out in high school and get badass CDs that hadn't come out yet. They were a lot of the promotional CDs that when labels would do that. And I saw At the Drive-In open for Jimmy Eat World.
That's cool.
Wow.
That's my concert trump card. My mom's like, oh, yeah? Well, I went to Woodstock.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah, there you go. You got schooled.
There's
a mic drop.
So anyway, continue. So, just so you know, my phone, my background, is a picture of my wife as a baby.
Oh, very cute.
Or not.
Nobody can see this, but it's very adorable.
Kelly, I love you.
The sap over here. Yeah, I don't know.
And she committed murder on her significant other about a week ago, so.
Oh, well.
Not
as cute.
Yeah.
It's actually cute the way she did it. Continue, Steven.
We'll leave it at that. I don't know. Working at Billboard's cool. It's like I've been told a whole bunch. It's like having the golden ticket.
I think it's badass.
It's fun. We get to make some cool decisions about some cool people and write some good stories.
Mariah Carey being one of them.
No, well, Mariah Carey's for Rolling Stone.
No, but you met her through.
I met her through Rolling Stone.
Well, I fucked up. But that's the thing about this show is that I don't edit out fuck ups. So I'm sorry, America.
It's fine. I'll tell you about Mariah Carey though.
I would love to hear before you do, so I cannot be corrected any further.
Sure.
For Billboard, who is an artist that may not necessarily be in the pantheon of greatness of Mariah Carey that you interviewed. Ooh. I asked a similar question. Yeah, I know. It's a good question. I should work for Billboard. No, I'm not sending you my resume. I'm sure you get that a lot. But basically, who did you meet? This is a similar question to what I asked Mike. Mm-hmm. And then he actually answered me, and I loved it. But that's not why I'm asking. Who did you meet that you were really, really shocked at how much you either went one way of liking or one way of hating? Like, you went into it with certain expectations and they completely fucking shifted.
I mean, we talked about Azealia Banks. That was a big shift. I've interviewed so many people for Billboard, and I would have to say that like 95% of interviews I do, people are nice.
Because it's Billboard?
Because it's media. And I talk with my husband about this all the time because I'll be like, I had such a good time with this person. He's like, that's because they think you're media and they need to be nice.
They put on their best face.
Yeah, I mean,
like this show right now, I fucking hate both of you.
Well, so not even just for Billboard, but in general, I've been interviewing people for 10 years, and the one person that I had a very different expectation for was Nicki Minaj, and that was back when she was putting out her debut album, which was Pink Friday,
uh-huh.
And I was working at that shitty magazine with The Rat. And the first day I got hired there, they said, who do you think we should be covering? I said, there's going to be this very famous singer rapper named Nicki Minaj. And
with one personality.
Yeah, exactly. And a year went by and they laughed me off at first. I hate when people do that to me because I know when something's going to be popular. And a year later they came and they said, I think Nicki Minaj should be in the magazine. I was like, I fucking hate you guys. I told you a year ago you could have been on top of this. So
they slept on it.
Well, so when they decided to do this feature, and I was like, well, I'll write it because I'm the one who knows the most, and also I'm the one who pitched this. And I'd heard from a lot of people in the industry that I was friends with. You know, I was writing for Vibe magazine, and I was writing for Rolling Stone, and you just hear things.
You mean the
people.
Mariah Carey magazine, Rolling Stone?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, I wasn't sure about that.
And so I went in there, and I was like, Mariah Carey. Nicki Minaj is going to be...
Well, they were both on Idol together, so that was a Freudian... They were so beautiful together on Idol.
They did not like each other.
That didn't show.
Oh, yeah, right. but I expected Nicki to be a monster. And, you know, true to form, when she showed up, we asked what she wanted for breakfast, and we had an intern go out and get it for her, and she they brought it back from some corner deli, and she took one look at it and said, "Get me another one." And I was like, "Oh."
With that verbiage, not with a please.
Yeah, no. Well, I didn't hear her say it, but it was essentially that exact thing. She was like, "Get rid of this," and so I was like, "The rumors are true. She's awful." And then I ended up going into the back room with her to interview her for 45 minutes. It was a great interview. She was awesome and very sweet, and gave me a hug at the end, and took a picture with me, which I used to do that. I don't do that anymore. And yeah, that was one of the ones that very much surprised me. And then Mariah Carey was cool, too.
Yeah, I want to get into that.
You really want to know about Mariah Carey.
I mean, who doesn't? She's a legend for so many reasons. I heard recently that she was a part of a Will Ferrell movie.
Oh, I heard about that.
I heard about this, I believe, on Andy Cohen with Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
And she, you know, just in case people who are listening don't know this, to get a song in a movie, especially when it's a major label song or a song that has a lot of fanfare, it's a lot of work between clearance and all that jazz. And there was a song that had been cleared for quite some time, and she gets there like the day of or the day before. It's like, "Nah, I want you guys to use another song."
Yeah.
And then there's some other stuff. Oh, and she wanted to change dialogue in a script.
Yeah, something like that. I don't really remember exactly what it was, but I think they cut her out of
the movie. That's a layman's. Yeah, well, that's what they did. It's just like,
it's shitty.
But she's an incredible singer.
She is, and she was really nice. The short version of the story is Rolling Stone asked me the day before to if I was interested in interviewing Mariah Carey, which...
Well, you were like, fuck no.
I was like, I literally, when I was working at MySpace, I ranked every remix she'd ever done. There were 185 of them. I literally wrote...
Fantasy?
Fantasy was obviously number one.
Damn right.
I'm a very big and knowledgeable Mariah Carey fan, and I never interviewed her, and I've seen her, you know, a bunch of times, and... So they sent me to her house, and her house is in L.A. It's in the hills.
She actually owns Los Angeles. For those people who are listening, she owns the city.
Surprisingly, for someone who owns the city, she rents an estate for $100,000 a month. And she took a lease out on it for... You can look this up on TMZ.
Wait, she spends $1.2 million a year renting.
Yeah, just renting.
That doesn't include electricity, folks.
Yeah, there's a lot of overhead, trust me. I show up, and they let me in, and... I'm like, I can't even believe I can waltz into Mariah Carey's estate.
I would have totally waltzed into her estate. I would have plied.
I seriously just walked in, and someone was like, "What are you here for?" And I was like, "I'm here to talk to Mariah." And they're like, "Okay, just go over there and find someone who might know what you're here for." It was very strange. So anyways, I wait there for a while. I hang out with I didn't hang out with her boyfriend, but her boyfriend's dog came and hung out with me.
You guys have a nice talk?
This little dog came over and was like,
just so you know, he's doing dog hands right now that are horrifically inaccurate.
He was like this. And
sorry.
Her boyfriend came over and was like, "Hey, can you watch my dog for me?" And I was like, I don't think I'm the right person to do this. I was like, I'm going in to talk to Mariah in like, I don't know how long.
They assume you're a handler or something.
Yeah, he was like, "Oh, can you just like watch out?" And
watch out?
No, watch out for the dog. Watch out for the dog. So they bring me in, and I take a picture inside of Mariah's, the main house, and I get yelled at immediately because they were like, "No pictures of Mariah's private photos."
Of course not.
Which I still have on my phone.
Text it.
And they take me in, and the first thing I do when I see Mariah in this room, and she's looking beautiful and
glammed out, right?
She's very glam. She's wearing like, there's like diamonds everywhere, and
so like a five figure outfit.
Yeah, it was like a six figure outfit.
Holy fuck.
And she's probably insured for seven figures, so
like J-Lo's booty.
Yeah, exactly. And so then I sit down, first thing I say to break the ice is, "I thought we were gonna have champagne." I was like, I thought that's something that I would do if I was talking to
Mariah. That
was
the very first thing you said. High five. That's badass. And so, by the way, this is the last thing you're telling the audience right now. This is awesome.
And the Mariah's like, it was 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And so she was like, "It's a little early for me, but I would do a splash." And so she goes, "Can someone get us..."
Garcon!
Yeah, she goes, "Can someone get us a bottle of champagne?"
And you're so expressive with your hands on this show. It's amazing. When he was mimicking Mariah Carey getting the champagne,
flopping around.
He flailed his hand upward. And when he was imitating the dogs, his hand was like near where his boobies are. I was going like, ah.
My boobies.
Yeah, oh, ginormous boobies.
Now I'm sensitive about my
boobies. Oh, I was just totally making a fat joke.
Anyways, I know we don't have a lot of time left. So, I got yelled at by a publicist for suggesting.
Like, actually, like literally
no,
yelling.
They were like, Steven, they were like, do the interview.
And reprimanded.
I got reprimanded. And so me and Mariah sat there and talked. And then at a certain point, I brought up, or she brought up Mount Airy Lodge. And for people who are from the Tri-State area, you know Mount Airy Lodge. And so she
said, fucking Zen.
Exactly. And so she started, she was like, do you know what that is? And I was like, I'm from New Jersey, so of course I know. And so I started singing the theme song.
Can you
song.
Explain what it is quickly?
Mount Airy Lodge is like a getaway for couples, and they used to run these commercials on TV that were so corny. It's like people skiing.
The local
and
commercials.
And, yeah, really, really corny. And so I started singing the theme song. Mariah joined in, and we sang together.
In harmony?
Yeah. No, not in harmony. Oh. Just octave difference. Yeah, she was up here. I was down here.
She has, like, an 83 octave range, right?
Something like that. And
that's
anyways,
a lot, Emily.
It was great. At the end, she let me kind of do my fan thing, which I don't ever do with artists, and she gave me a big hug, and that was the end of it.
I mean, I'm glad that we're ending this interview on a happy note, because she's gotten a lot of shit from the media, but I gotta say, I've read some interviews,
yours included,
she seemed really down to earth.
She is a very normal person, and that like the Nicki Minaj interview very much surprised me.
Well, that's good. And you know, what's crazy is I came into this interview with Stephen Horowitz going like, oh my god, this fucking douche. And now I fell in love with you.
Oh,
so thank you so very much.
Thanks. The love is mutual.
We'll
do a little one of these.
So anyway, Emily, one adjective to describe this, and then you're going to plug all your non-controversial outlets of social media.
Oh my gosh.
You know, I'll do one for Mariah. Glamorous.
Damn right.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Emancipation of Stevie.
Oh.
See what I did there?
I saw it.
So anyway, and that look said it all. So Stephen, please tell the world of, believe it or not, we have between negative 4 and 7 million listeners. No, the low end of people is like 25K.
That's
listening.
Pretty great.
So wow. I'm stoked on that.
Well, shout outs to all you guys. Hopefully you like Nicki Minaj and Mariah Carey and hearing me blab on about being a journalist, because
this is not the station for that normally, so I love this.
I am very appreciative that of anyone who listened.
Well, I assure you at least 3 people in this room will.
Yeah.
So your plug all your socials.
Yeah, I'm the same. I have the same handle and everything. It looks like the word spirited, S period. Yeah, it's spirited, S period together. And I'm on Twitter, Instagram.
He's actually verified.
Oh, I'm famous on Twitter.
When I first met you and I followed you, I was really proud
very
to
impressed,
know you.
Very impressed.
I'm still impressed.
And
depressed.
Again, like we started this, I piss off a lot of people on Twitter. I have a lot of opinions. So follow me there.
Let me tell you something. He's definitely entertaining. It's like watching a tennis match, except it's exciting. So anyway.
Except I piss off a lot of
It's like watching
people.
A tennis match with gasoline.
Yeah.
So, Emily.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for doing this. Who is on the show the next few weeks?
We have Corey.
Rochland.
Rochland. We have Mara Schwartz.
Damn right you do. It's not Dead Fest, people
it's
are going to be
dead.
On this. I mean, I'm going to see Rancid, Dropkick Murphys, Me First and the Gimme Gimmes.
I know all those bands.
Yeah, they're fucking awesome. They're about as pop as it gets. And you know what? We've got Bobby Meter from Stock Smile. And again, I'm really honored that someone who literally looked at the Billboard building is in here right now. So thank you so very much.
Of course.
And just take care of yourselves. And do you have any final thoughts?
No, I really enjoyed doing this. This is cool, and hopefully you'll have me on again someday, maybe?
Well, I would love to. I mean, here's the thing. I'll be straight with you.
Oh, no.
No.
You're about to get turned down.
No. You're about to get something better than a turn down. But I need you to look at me. So
I'm literally pulling up my...
He's pulling out something.
I have to go.
Oh, he has to go. Like, right now. So we'll end it on this note. I don't repeat guests, but I would love to have you as a co-host.
Oh, we'll talk about it.
Let's say that was a non-committal yes.
We'll talk about it. I probably need to get that approved.
Bye.
So.
Let's end on that note. Emily.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.